Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Caught you thinking about pizza. It's okay. We are too. Especially that Marco's golden crust and a pizza bowl with four tasty toppings. Mmm. And a perfect side of melty cheesy bread? Oh yeah. Head to Marcos.com to get a large one-topping pizza on golden crust, a pizza bowl without the crust, and a fresh-baked cheesy bread, all for $21.99. Stop thinking about pizza. Start eating it. Marcos. Pizza lovers get it.
The 1-1 to Acuna. Swung on, hit high and deep to center. Way back. That ball is gone. Home run. Two to one, Atlanta. Fans been waiting a long time to celebrate one of those. Ronald hit that ball, Ben, over the Braves' bullpen and into the section of seats next to the fountain.
That was absolutely hammered.
And that's how it sounded last night for Ronald Acuna Jr., his third home run of the season. This one with an exclamation point, 456 feet to dead center field. And when you hit a ball like that, yeah, you can stand and admire it and watch it all you want. All told, it was a good night for the Braves last night, and we're happy to have you with us on a Saturday morning version of the Frozen Rope Report. As always, I am Kevin McAlpin, Truist reporter for the home of the Braves, the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM. Braves with a nice way to open up the home portion of their schedule in front of 14,000-plus at the ballpark last night. We'll take you through the sights and sounds of what you may have missed from the Braves and the Phillies last night. Later on, we'll hear from a couple of key members of last night's win, Ronald Acuna Jr. being one of them, along with team translator Franco Garcia. A big night offensively for Acuna. Charlie Morton as well. We'll hear from Charlie later on in our show, as well as the skipper, of course, Brian Snitker. We'll get to all of that and more throughout the course of our show. We'll also take you through this date in baseball history, and we'll get you caught up on other things going on around Major League Baseball. A little bit of a slower night last night, but not if you're a member of the San Diego Padres or a fan of the San Diego Padres. Did you see what they did last night for the first time ever? If not, we'll tell you about it here in just a couple of moments. And lots to get to here over the course of our show, and we are happy to have you with us each and every day right here throughout the course of the season on the Frozen Rope Report. Well, it may not look like it this morning because it's going to be a little rainy, and I think some storms are passing through the Atlanta area here, but folks, the weather is finally starting to get nicer. Spring is in the air here in the Atlanta area, and of course, the savings are in full bloom right now at Audi Atlanta. Right now, you can lease and get behind the wheel of a 2021 Audi Q7 for just $531 per month. A luxury and sporty SUV at a great price. Can't beat it. Just imagine driving with the panoramic sunroof wide open, the windows down in your new Q7. It's got the standard quattro all-wheel drive, room for seven, and ample cargo space. So spring into action and take it for a test drive and let the good folks at Audi Atlanta treat you like a world-class car buying experience. Stop by their showroom on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter for a true VIP shopping experience, or if you prefer, shop from the comfort of home using the Jim Ellis Expressway. Visit AudiAtlanta.com to get started. Well, as I mentioned, it was the Braves over the Phillies 8-1 last night in the home opener at Truist Park, and I got to tell you, I was at the complex yesterday morning about 6:45 in the morning, sat in with the guys on the morning show yesterday, and even when I got back there in the middle of the afternoon, you could just feel the buzz and the excitement. Folks were there early, they were grabbing some cold cold drinks. They were enjoying some food, being out around people once again. And it was just a really, really great atmosphere in the Battery. The gates opened, I believe it was right around 5:30. So about 2 hours before first pitch last night. And again, 14,342 in the building. They were treated to not only some terrific pregame ceremonies to honor the late Hank Aaron and Phil Niekro and Don Sutton and Bill Bartholomew, but they were also treated to one heck of a ball game on the field as well. It was Charlie Morton making his first home start with the Braves since 2008. Matter of fact, his last start in a Brave uniform came against the Florida Marlins. They were still 4 years away from being changed to the Miami Marlins. But that's right. That goes to show you just how long it's been since Charlie Morton suited up in a Braves home uniform. And he pitched really, really well last night. Six innings, one run, four hits, walked one, and struck out seven. Phillies got a run in the third on a two-out bloop single by Andrew McCutchen to right field. However, that's all that Morton would allow. He bared down. He pitched really, really well. A one-out single in the fourth, nothing to worry about there. A 1-2-3 fifth, and then he gave up a walk and a single in the sixth, but got Alec Bohm to fly out. It was a tough night for Alec Bohm. We'll talk about him in just a moment. In the fifth inning, the Braves got the offense going with who else? Of course, Charlie Morton, a base hit to right field. And as he joked a couple of weeks ago towards the end of spring training, he's like, man, nothing. I can't do anything to help my team with a bat. That's not going to help at all. Well, guess what? He helped his own cause, got the inning started, and he could take the very slow trot home as Ronald Acuna Jr. followed with an absolute moonshot, 456-foot home run to straightaway center field. That got the ballpark rocking. Ozzie Albies followed with a double. He came in to score on Travis d'Arnaud's two-out RBI single. That would be the end of the line for Zach Wheeler. Really the tale of two starts for Wheeler, who was just flat-out dominant in Philly last weekend. Seven scoreless innings with 10 strikeouts and no walks. Last night, 4 2/3, three runs, seven hits, four walks, and just four strikeouts. Now, obviously, Wheeler would have loved to go deeper in that ballgame, but in that fifth inning, there was a visit from the pitching coach, and probably the biggest surprise of all of anything that happened last night, Joe Girardi came out to the mound on a 2-0 count to Dansby Swanson with two outs in that inning, and the umpire said, wait a minute, that's the second mound visit, he's got to come out of the ballgame. It was just a total, you know, total brain fart, if you will, from Joe Girardi, who is a much smarter, much better baseball man than that. Look, it happens. We all have moments where things just slip our mind. But that was the end of the line for Zach Wheeler. He had to come out of that game. He probably had to be thinking, what is Joe doing coming out here? He was coming out on a pretty solid trot, too. I think he just wanted to settle him down. Two outs, you could get your way out of this thing, keep it to a 3-1 game, but that was it. Phillies had to go to Brandon Kinsler. He would get Dansby Swanson to strike out to end the inning. Braves would come back in the bottom of the sixth, and things were off to a rough start in that sixth inning for Alec Bohm. He would have a couple of errors, one throwing, one fielding. That put runners on first and second and nobody out in the sixth inning. Braves would call on A-Ray Adrianza off the bench. Of course, Adrianza just becoming an American citizen a few days ago. Remember, he left the team for personal reasons. Well, we found out the personal reasons were he was becoming an American citizen. So congratulations to A-Ray Adrianza. And he celebrates by coming up off the bench and hitting a three-run pinch hit home run. That would give the Braves a six to one lead in the sixth inning. Third pinch hit home run of the season for the Braves, two from Pablo and one from Eddie Adrianza, and two guys that essentially hit their way onto the roster in spring training, and they have had a big time impact here already this season. Braves, for good measure, in the bottom of the eighth, would tack on two more as David Hale, remember former Brave David Hale, local product as well. If I'm not mistaken, he went to the Walker School. I didn't look that up, but I'm pretty sure it's the Walker School for David Hale. He would come in, have a scoreless seventh, but he had to go through the top of the order in the eighth inning, and Freddie Freeman greeted his old friend with a two-run homer to right field that was caught by a Phillies fan. I don't know if you've seen this story. The young fan got the ball and actually gave it to a Freddie Freeman fan. So kudos to that young Phillies fan for giving the ball. I guess he didn't want really to have that kind of a souvenir. If it was Bryce Harper, I don't think he's giving that ball away. But a nice moment there at the ballpark last night. That was cool to see. And so that was the offense for the Braves last night. Eight runs, 11 hits, no errors. They left eight runners on. For the Phillies, just a run on six hits, two errors, both by Alec Bohm. They left six runners on. Morton wins it. Wheeler loses it. Time of game, 3 hours and 3 minutes in front of 14,300. And 42 at Truist Park last night. Braves are a perfect 5-0 in home openers in their still relatively new ballpark. It is hard to believe, though. That was their fifth home opener since they moved into Truist Park back in 2017. Couple of quick post-game notes from this one last night. Ronald Acuna Jr. Absolutely unleashing on that 1-1 pitch from Zach Wheeler in the fifth inning, his third home run of the season, and he finished the night 4-for-4 with a run and two RBI. That home run, 456 feet, an exit velo of 114.1 miles per hour. Now, since StatCast began tracking those kinds of data in 2015, Acuna Jr. has 8 of the 13 farthest home runs by a Braves hitter, including that one last night. That's ninth longest overall. He also has 5 of the 6 hardest hit home runs in Atlanta in that span. That 114-mile-an-hour home run last night is the fourth hardest ball that he hit. 4 hits ties a career high from Ronald Acuna Jr. And again, for Charlie Morton, second start of the season, 4 hits, 1 run over 6 innings. First win of the year. Morton surrendered 3 run-scoring hits this season, all to the Phillies, and none have been hit harder than 75 miles per hour on the exit velocity. That win last night was Morton's first for the Braves since beating the Florida Marlins, not the Miami Marlins, the Florida Marlins, August 28th of 2008. That was just 4,607 days ago. But not who's keeping track, right? And that's a look at what you may have missed from last night's action. Couple of right-handers going at it tonight. Ian Anderson for the Braves. It'll be Zach Eflin on the mound for the Phillies. It is a 7:20 first pitch from the ballpark here in Atlanta. We will be on the air at 5:05 with Braves game day. That'll be Chris Domino and I. Then we'll take you right through the Ford leadoff show. That goes on the air on the Braves radio network at 6:05 p.m. Eastern. And then your first pitch of the Braves and the Phillies tonight at 7:20 on the Braves radio network. Ben Ingram, Joe Simpson, they've got all the action for you. And then I'll have you covered for the postgame show as well. And hopefully we're talking about a fourth straight win for the Braves and getting back to 500 on the season. Boy, that 0-4 start feels like a distant memory, doesn't it? Braves playing really good baseball here in their last 3 games. All right, the big story from Major League Baseball last night, if you missed this, in San Diego. How about Joe Musgrove? A 10-strikeout performance as he tosses a no-hitter against the Texas Rangers. First ever no-hitter in San Diego Padre history. They are now they were the final team to not have ever thrown a no-hitter, and now every Major League franchise has at least one no-hitter. Probably the coolest part of it all, Joe Musgrove, a Padre fan growing up. It's his hometown team. He grew up not far from the San Diego area there in Southern California, and he was terrific last night. Only took the Padres 53 years for a no-hitter, but he does it against the Rangers last night at Globe Life Field in Arlington. 3-0 your final as the Padres win that contest. Great moment. He said part of it doesn't seem like it's real. It feels like it was meant to be. And how about this? His bid at a perfect game was thrown off in the bottom of the fourth when he hit Joey Gallo with a first-pitch fastball. That was the only thing separating Joe Musgrove from perfection last night. But again, great to see the hometown kid. That had to be just such an incredible thrill for Joe Musgrove last night to get a chance to not only make history, but also go out there and be a part of something for his hometown team that had never happened. Hey, how about this one, by the way? His catcher, Victor Caratini, was also with the Cubs last year. He caught Alec Mills' no-hitter last season. So the last 2 no-hitters in Major League history have been caught by the same catcher. And, of course, Victor Caratini, a former Brave prospect way back when. So that's a pretty cool moment for both those guys all around. And so that was the big story from Major League Baseball last night. Elsewhere around the game, Dodgers over the Nationals 1-0 at Dodger Stadium. Big day for Los Angeles as they got their World Series rings last night. And the Nationals with another loss, they are off to a slow start here. But it's still, they've only played 4 games on the young season. Season. Rays all over the Yankees at Tropicana Field last night. 10-5 was your final in that one. Giants over the Rockies, 3-1. Angels pounded the Blue Jays in Dunedin last night, 7-1. Big night for Shohei Ohtani in that game. The Tigers fell to the Indians 4-1 in a game that was supposed to be started by Julio Teheran, our old friend. He's dealing with some triceps issues. He was a late scratch to that contest. A's. Hey, the A's got a win. They beat the Astros 6-2 last night in Houston, and it was the Reds getting getting past the D-backs in 10 innings, 6-5 in the desert. So again, a bit of a slower night around Major League Baseball, but a full slate of action coming your way here for your Saturday. As again, the Braves will take on the Phillies here tonight. And that's a look at what else has happened around Major League Baseball. All right, we're going to step aside, take a quick break. When we return, we're going to take you inside the Braves clubhouse. We're going to hear from Brian Snitker, Charlie Morton, and Ronald Acuña Jr. Don't go anywhere. Lots more to get to here on a Saturday edition of the Frozen Rope Report.
Follow the Podcast Park on social media for live updates as new episodes hit and behind-the-scenes looks at all our shows. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Podcast Park.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
Well, we're glad to have you with us for a Saturday morning version of the Frozen Rope Report. As always, I'm Kevin McAlpin, Truist reporter for The Fan and the Atlanta Braves Radio Network. And a big thanks to our friends at DBAT for getting involved in the show. Friends over at DBAT Marietta, a place that my son Max and I spend a lot of time at, whether it's going and hitting in the cages or our lessons with our favorite coach, Coach Charles. They have a great staff over there at DBAT Marietta, so make sure you go and say hello to all of our friends over there. Summer camps are coming. They're right around the corner. Of course, travel ball is coming up as well. So if you have a son or daughter you want to get some improvement on as the season rolls around, make sure you go see our friends over at DBAT Marietta, and we appreciate them being a part of the Frozen Rope Report here on the Braves Radio Network. And again, they're open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturdays, 9 to 5, and then Sundays, 11 to 6. Again, summer camps right around the corner. Birthday parties, anything you can think of. You want to have your team end of season party, they got you covered with that as well. DBAT Marietta and DBATMarietta.com. All right, time to take you inside the Braves clubhouse, and let's first hear from the manager, Brian Snitker, and get his thoughts on not only what he saw from his offense last night, but of course Charlie Morton, who was dominant last night. Here's the Braves skipper following last night's 8-1 win.
When you see Ronald hit a ball like that and then make a catch like that 5-10 minutes later.
I know. No, that just shows the complete player that he is. I mean, the skill set that this kid has and what he brings, and he beats out a close play. And, you know, he showed it all tonight pretty much. He didn't have any defensive, you know, throwing assists or anything, but he did everything else.
Snit, how about three pinch hit, huge pinch hit homers in the first seven games? From a bench that people questioned whether they were going to have power.
Yeah. I know. That's hard to do in a year.
Yeah.
And we need to do it in a week. Hopefully it keeps up, but that's good. I mean, it's guys take advantage of their at-bats. And like I say, you just never know if you get out here and play and put guys in situations. And, you know, AD had been down for a while too. So it's even more impressive.
Yeah, how about him coming back from a week away to do what he did, coming off the bench like that?
I know. That's pretty good, you know, to just have a day to work out and then get activated and get a big hit. So good for him.
Jeff?
Brian, can you just talk about what it was like to manage a game and be in a stadium with real fans?
Oh, no, it was awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's, man, I don't know how many people. It sure seemed like there was a lot more people than what I was told was going to be there. And you know, the old energy's back. I mean, it's really cool to see that we're back playing in front of fans, and how excited you could tell all the fans were. And it was a great atmosphere there, you know, something that we really did miss. I mean, missed a lot last year, and it's good to be back and have fans in the stands.
Snit, have you seen Charlie that good? Well, maybe on TV, but was that about as good as he could be tonight?
That's pretty good. Yeah, that stuff was something else. And then, you know, just to pitch himself out of that trouble in the sixth too. I mean, it was good, man. It was jumping out of his hand, and the stuff was just live and locating. And
great moment before the game last night. I don't know if you saw this. The cameras caught it as he was waving to his grandsons right above the Braves dugout last night. And, of course, his lovely bride, Ronnie, there as well in the building. And I just can't reiterate enough how awesome it is to know that fans are back in the building here in 2021. And looking forward to having my family in the building on Sunday night for their first game of the year. 33% capacity for the ballpark to start. They'll be up to 50% for the second homestand. And we are just so happy to see you Braves fans back in the building. Got a chance to visit with some of you in the Battery yesterday and appreciate all of you who came up and said hello. Like Chris and I talked about on our Braves pregame daily podcast, it was just great to talk to some people again. Because it was just weird pulling up to the ballpark last year, knowing there was a home game that was going on. There was no traffic. There was no people. There was no cars in the parking lot. It just felt right last night. And it's going to feel even more right as the season goes along. Time now to also hear from a guy who played a big role in last night's game, Charlie Morton. He not only did it on the mound, but he did it with his bat as well, with a single in the fifth inning. Here's Charlie Morton following an outing that saw him give up a run on four hits over six innings en route to his first win in a Braves uniform since 2008.
Charlie, have what you've seen from Ronald, has that confirmed what you'd seen on TV, or might even be better than you expected?
I'm impressed. I don't know what to say. Tons of talent. But that was really cool to have that view from where I was.
Charlie, how did it feel, mate, pitching here in Atlanta again? I know it's a different stadium, but how good did it feel being back here where it all started and having such a good performance in front of fans?
As soon as I got on the field from the tunnel, I just looked around and, it felt like there were a lot more people than the official number.
Uh-huh.
And it sounded like it too. So that was really, it was really nice to know people were having a good time and we're able to come out and just share the home opener and to play such a good team as a team. So that was really rewarding. I had a lot of fun tonight.
How much fun is that on a night when your fastballs, has a lot of giddy up on it, plus you're getting that many swings and misses with your curveball?
I'm sorry. I was having some trouble.
Just your stuff. It would seem to be pretty good tonight. Your fastball and then your curveball got a lot of swings and misses. Did you feel like that was, maybe not the best you could throw, but about as good as you could throw at this point in the season?
Early on I could kind of see the shape of it, and the feel for it was there. Especially the lefties, because I see their swing path and I can kind of pick up on a little bit. And that's why I kept throwing it, because it seemed like the feel that had the shape, and the swings that I was getting on. So like, it seemed like the timing was off too. It wasn't just, just raw break. It was also it seemed like they were just a little off. And so that kind of allowed me to feel like I had some wiggle room there. And I flipped a couple in there and I challenged a couple guys with it. I threw strikes with it. And that's, I need that. Cause if I don't have that and I'm just challenging guys with a four seam, a two seam, and that little cutter thing that I throw, so I got to have something that's, to get guys off my heater. So, that felt really good. That was the best my curveballs felt, just throwing it. And I think that was probably the most consistent that it's been, spring and the past two starts too.
Gabe?
Yeah, do you feel like your relationship is coming along with Travis?
Do you feel like you guys are going to
have a pretty good rapport already?
Yeah, so Trav and I, we get along great. We we went through a lot together, especially there at the postseason in 2019. And I just feel good with him back there. And I think we've been on the same page. He has a really good idea of what I like to do, and he likes to be creative, and there are times where I really like to be creative, and I feel like we have a good mix. Like, I feel like we have a good mix of, on the coaching side too, with Sal and Cranny, and, you know, and the catching group that we have here, just a very interested in the art of catching and, you know, having an idea what sequences we can use, and just very prepared. So, I knew Trav was here, and, you know, that was the reason why I was looking forward to coming here. And cause he's great. Like, he's great. He's great on the field, but I mean, even in the clubhouse, he's phenomenal. So, I mean, I love everything about him. And that was really nice to go out there and, you know, we did a good job together.
Well, that was a much more Charlie Morton-like performance last night, wasn't it? I mean, not to say that opening day or his first start was not. He pitched really well and got himself in some two-out trouble, couldn't escape it. Look, this is a good Phillies lineup, and you're going to see that throughout the course of the year. But a much more efficient Charlie Morton last night. And again, he did it with the bat as well. All right, let's also hear from the guy that had the biggest home run of the three last night, Ronald Acuña Jr. His home run in the fifth ended up being the game winner for the Braves, a two-run shot that I think landed on runaway 29R at the airport there at Hartsfield-Jackson. Probably ended up on radar at some point when that thing was hit 456 feet deep into the Atlanta night, his third home run of the season, and it was a big one, and he admired it. And you know what? Rightfully so. Here's Ronald Acuña Jr. along with team translator Franco Garcia as they look back on a big night for the Braves offense.
Ronald, what's it feel like to hit a ball like that? And where does that compare with some of the others, some of the other longest, hardest hit home runs?
Bueno, se siente bien la home run, de verdad que es lo mejor que hay, la home run. Y de verdad que uno de los home runs que yo creo que he dado más duro, que ha salido con más velocidad, pero no viene el caso de eso. Al final ganamos, que es lo más importante. Siempre salgo a jugar duro, a divertirme y hacer que el equipo gane.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I love hitting home runs. It's great. It always feels great to hit home runs. You know, and with that one in perspective, I feel like it was probably one of the harder ones that I thought I hit. You know, I can't be sure, but that's the way it feels. But at the end of the day, you know, the important thing is that the team won and that, you know, we all contributed to help make sure that that was a possibility and that happened. So, like I said, the most important thing is that we won this team.
Okay. Hola, Ronald. Buenas noches. Bueno, ya sabes que es jugar con pelo corto y con pelo largo. Ahora dinos sin público y con público. ¿Qué sientes jugar? Pues ahora que el público está de regreso. Y la pregunta número dos para ti, los jonrones es lo tuyo, pero también tus compatriotas ya pegaron cuadrangular. O sea, ¿cómo se siente que han pegado tus compatriotas venezolanos jonrones importantes, hablando de Pablo y hablando de Adrianza?
Bueno, primero que nada, se siente sumamente bien jugar con fanáticos, lo mejor que hay. Nosotros siempre estamos acostumbrados a jugar con fanáticos, verdad que se sintió bien tenerlo de vuelta. Y sobre la pregunta que han dado jonrones mis compañeros, verdad que también se siente bien. Yo siempre me alegro por el éxito de los demás. Siempre estoy tratando que den lo mejor de ellos. Y cuando yo pego un jonrón es como si lo pegara yo lo celebro igual.
Just a quick summary. You know, it's really great to have the fans back in the stands. You know, their support and obviously their enthusiasm really helps us out a lot. So that's wonderful. And as far as just finding joy and my fellow teammates hitting home runs, you know, for me, it's something that I love to celebrate. And, you know, anytime they connect and hit a home run, I feel like celebrating it's as the same as if I hit one.
Yeah, I was going to ask about fans too. Just what did it feel like for the first time in more than a year to be in a stadium with fans at home?
Bueno, como te dije anteriormente, sumamente bien, de verdad que se siente bien jugar con los fanáticos, eso es lo que nosotros queremos, jugar con los fanáticos, pero por cosas de la vida, por cosas del mundo, está pasando una pandemia que todavía no sabemos cuándo se va, pero es bueno tenerlo de vuelta.
I mean, like I previously said, it felt good. You know, it felt that's why we do it. We want to be here. You know, we want to play in front of the fans, and I think they're part of the reason that we do this. And so, you know, for reasons of the world, that you know, we keep, you know, really not sure how everything works, but the pandemic and everything like that. You know, we've had the limitations that we've had up to this point, but you know, like I said, it's good to have the fans here.
Ronald, off the bat, that ball you caught in the sixth inning, what were you thinking as you started to go back? Were you confident you would get there?
Bueno, la jugada que hiciste en la sexta entrada cuando te estaba echando para atrás y pues no pudiste coger finalmente. Cuanto no que estabas pensando y si en tu mente pensaste que la iba a poder agarrar.
Bueno, yo siempre que sale un batazo para mí, mi mente siempre tiene que agarrarla porque uno anticipa la jugada antes de hacerla. Entonces, la pelota muchas veces cuando la pelota se mete al right field, muchas veces se meten en la luz. Entonces, yo estaba indeciso dónde iba, pero siempre con la vista en la pelota y tuve que pegar el brinco para agarrarlo, pero mi mente siempre es agarrar la pelota.
You know, my mentality is always to make the play and make the catch. So, you know, I think sometimes when you're playing right field, you know, and anywhere, and that's going to be anywhere in the outfield, but, you know, obviously the balls can get lost in the light a little bit. So, you know, when that happens, I think I just try to get a good jump on it and just kind of keep retreating and try to just keep getting good read on it. And fortunately it worked out this one. But, yeah, I mean, my mentality the entire time is just to make the play and, you know, finish it up, finish the play.
All right, we'll go to Yafa for the last one.
Ronald, do you feel maybe not the pressure, but the excitement to maybe get that 40-40 season? Ronald, ¿sientes tal vez no esa presión, pero la emoción de poder obtener una temporada de 40-40?
Bueno, de verdad que nunca he tenido presión. Yo siempre salgo a divertirme, siempre salgo a jugar duro y yo solamente me imagino, o sea, como ojalá y Dios quiera yo logro el 40-40 algún día. No es una meta que yo tengo que hacerlo. Yo solamente voy a salir a jugar y que Dios quiera que pase lo que tenga que pasar.
I've never felt pressured to, you know, reach that 40-40 mark. For me, the goal is to always go out, enjoy myself, and contribute to the team winning. And on that same note, you know, for me, I don't feel like it's a goal that I feel like I'm pressuring myself or I feel pressure necessarily to achieve. You know, it's something that I hope for. It would be great if it happened, but it's not something that, you know, is kind of on my list. It's something that I have to cross off.
Well, as always, we appreciate the services of Franco Garcia. And if Acuna keeps doing what he's been doing early in the season, I'm sure the Braves are going to keep him very busy translating this season with some big moments certainly ahead. All right, time to take a peek at this date in baseball history for you folks. It was on this date, April the 10th of 1913, in a game that features President Woodrow Wilson throwing out the first pitch. Washington's Walter Johnson, the big train, gives up an unearned run in the first inning of the home opener. However, Johnson would not allow another tally for 56 innings. Senators beat the team now known as the Yankees 2-1. They were then known as the Highlanders, the nickname the team had used since the franchise moved from Baltimore to New York in the 1903 season. So there you go. On this date in 1913, President Woodrow Wilson threw out the first pitch, and Walter Johnson then began a stretch of 56 innings without allowing an earned run. All right, it was also on this date in 1959, on opening day, Nellie Fox goes 5-for-7 and hits an unlikely two-run homer off of Don Mossey in the top of the 14th inning to beat Detroit at Briggs Stadium by a score of 9-7. The White Sox second baseman, who was called Mighty Mite by his teammates, did not homer in 623 at-bats all of last season. All right, it was also on this date in 1961, in the last opener ever played at Griffith Stadium, rookie president John F. Kennedy throws out the longest and hardest thrown ceremonial first pitch in history as the ball sails over the heads of the players lined up in front of the presidential box. The newly elected commander-in-chief, of course, an avid Red Sox fan, would stay for the entire game and oversees the new Washington Senators, the former team having moved from Minnesota to play their first game, losing to the White Sox by a score of 4-3. So that was on this date in 1961. JFK airmailed the honorary first pitch, which is always such a cool tradition when we see those by the presidents, no matter what it is, if it's opening day or if it's after a big moment or whatever it might be. Always fun to see those kinds of moments. All right, one or two more for you. Let's see if there was anything else. I was looking through these earlier. All right, on this date in 1981, on opening day, White Sox catcher Carlton Fisk, playing the first game of his career while not wearing a Red Sox uniform, makes a dramatic return to Fenway, hitting a three-run homer in the eighth inning. That tied the game at 3-3. The White Sox would go on to attack on two more runs in the ninth and beat the Bo Sox by a score of 5-3. All right, your final one for you. It was on this date in 1982. A crowd of 62,443 fans show up with a game time temperature of 38 degrees and a wind chill of 17 to watch the Indians drop their season opener to the Rangers by a score of 8-3. The team removed 500 tons of snow from the building right before game time. So there you go. On this date, 1982, I could not imagine sitting through 17 degree wind chills, but I guess if there's 62,443, maybe it's your body warmth with people sitting around you. I don't know. Maybe that helped some folks while they were in the building. All right, that's going to do it for the Frozen Rope Report for your Saturday morning. As always, I certainly appreciate you tuning in. Make sure you like and subscribe. And also, don't forget, Chris Domino and I doing a daily Braves pregame where we will get it up first thing in the morning, and you'll be able to catch up on everything from the night before. Look ahead to that night's contest, news, notes, random Brave of the Day, your chance to win some free stuff. Yeah, that's right, free stuff. You better go listen to Braves Pregame Daily now and find out how you can do that. And, of course, we'll continue to do these Frozen Rope Reports and Braves Pregame Dailies throughout the course of the season. And, again, big thanks to our friends at DBAT Marietta. Make sure you go see them. Tell them you heard about it here on the Braves Radio Network podcast. Tell them K-Mac sent you, and they are going to take very, very good care of you. My son Max has been taking lessons there for a couple of months with Coach Charles. Really dramatic improvement in his game, and I think you will say the same about your son or daughter. Of course, birthdays, camps, they've got private lessons, you name it. They've got it for you, DBAT Marietta, and we appreciate them being part of the Frozen Rope Report.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.